is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to the Thursday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well. Another warm day, sort of overcast a little bit today, but I mean, it's been very pleasant if you have to be outside. We are here in the studio today. Bill, Coach Don Dunn again, as Dan, I think, wrapping up his trip of out to the Midwest. They had Kansas State on Tuesday, Missouri today.
And won.
Yeah, how about that?
Big win.
Yes, indeed. And then he'll be getting back in town, doing a little laundry and getting ready to head out to Las Vegas with the Troy women.
Poor guy.
At the same time that the Players Era men's tournament is going on, Dan's going to be able to catch a little of that.
That's great.
He's got credentials to that, as does our guest coming up here in a few minutes. Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer is with us when he has the chance to be with us here in the studio. Had to be doing some other things, so couldn't be in the studio. We're going to catch up with him in about 10 or 15 minutes. And Ferg will be out in Vegas as well. Going to be a busy week for him with football. You know, football on Saturday afternoon against Mercer, then heading out to Las Vegas, getting back I would guess Thanksgiving, and then the Iron Bowl.
Wow.
And I would imagine, I'll check, I wonder if Ferg's got credentials for if he's going to be there at the Little Iron Bowl tomorrow night.
I'm sure. I think everybody in town.
Anybody who can is trying
to
get in.
You know, when somebody pitches a no-hitter, everybody was there. Remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we'll talk with Justin Ferguson in just a little while. In the meantime, it's Bill and Don with Drew at the controls. We can talk some football. We can talk some basketball.
Yeah, big win.
Late game last night, and we stuck around for the entire game, and glad we did.
How about the
because
freshman?
Simon Walker making his collegiate debut.
It looked like Hoosiers.
You know, he'd been out with a broken foot.
Wow.
And we were wondering if he was going to get a chance to play. Stephen Pearl had said on Tuesday that he's been practicing just the last few days, and he didn't get in until the final 7 minutes of the game. And he goes 5 for 5 on three, and they were
bombs.
Deep threes.
The one he's falling out of bounds on the bench.
I mean, and with the exception of the bank, which I don't know if he called it.
He did.
but with the exception of that, I mean, it was nothing but net. It was swisheroo.
The one where he's falling out and the guys catch him and they were running on the floor.
Unbelievable. I mean,
you know what that shows me, Bill? The camaraderie of that team. They were cheering for him. Everybody was up, you know, hugging him. That, to me, as a coach, that is so important when you have that win your team.
Oh, yeah.
And they got it. And I like Coach Pearl. He tells it like it is.
He's intense, man.
Oh,
he
man.
Is.
He said, we stunk at rebound, the worst people in the
world. Well, I mean, because Jackson State had come in just being dominated on the boards, and and Auburn only out-rebounded them by 2.
There's not much coach speak with him.
You're right. No, you're absolutely right. But, Auburn wins.
Wow.
112-66.
Yeah.
They had a 54-point lead at one time. I mean, they led it by 31 at the half. It was 55-24 at the half. Filip Jovic, I thought, really had his best game, no question about that, with 18 or 19. I guess he had 18. Keyshawn Murphy had 19 for Auburn last night. Look, there was no way that Jackson State could stay with Auburn, but I liked – I like the intensity they had.
Yep.
Stephen didn't like the way they let up a little. And that's a learning that's, you know, something they can learn from. But I thought it's a whole lot better than what you might have thought coming off that tough loss.
Emotional.
And having Las Vegas coming up when you're playing a team that you're favored by over 30 points
against. Right. No, very focused, I thought. And like you said, big win. And a lot of fun for those young guys. Five for five, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, five, I mean, his first five collegiate shots.
How about that?
I mean, it's not just, he'd been in for a little while, hit a layup and gotten warmed up or anything. I mean, no.
It's like a Hoosiers movie or something.
Yeah, I mean, so that was that was a lot of fun. If you were, love your thoughts on basketball if you would like as well. But, yeah, for the Tigers, next up, Oregon, Monday night. And speaking of Monday, I want to let you know we've had to shift some things around because there's Auburn women's basketball on Monday afternoon. So what we will do on Monday is on the line. We'll be on at its regular time and right here on ESPN 106.7. The drive is going to shift over to Wings. Wings 94.3. And we will basically be the lead-in to Tiger Talk / Auburn basketball pregame because it will go directly from the drive on Monday into Tiger Talk, which will go into the basketball pregame, and then Auburn Oregon is at 7 o'clock. So from 4 o'clock on, Wings has got sports from 4 until, 9:30-ish or something like that on Monday. So just be aware, Monday, if you tune in to ESPN 106.7, which is fine, at this time, you're going to be hearing the Auburn women's basketball. So that's coming up on Monday. We've got some other crazy things because of schedules and, Thanksgiving. Next week, we'll talk about them a little later. But yeah, we will check in with Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer in a few minutes. Then in hour number two, our regular Thursday 5 o'clock guest David Paschal will join us from Chattanooga. I was texting with David a little while ago. Since obviously there's not going to be a show next Thursday on Thanksgiving, I was wondering about Friday, but he's got Georgia Tech. He will be at Georgia Tech on Friday.
In the dome,
that's
right?
Not
the dome, but
pretty big one. Pretty big matchup.
Very big.
Yes, for both of those teams.
And what was it, 7 overtimes last year? Or
yes,
eight?
7, I believe it was last year.
Crazy.
In Athens.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll check in with David, and then we'll wish him happy Thanksgiving, and we'll check in with him again after the Iron Bowl. And I wonder, by the time we talk to David again after today, Auburn may have a new head coach.
Yep. I would think so. Never know, but I would think so.
I think that's been the plan for John Cohen.
Right.
And we will see. Did I mention yesterday, we got a call from John a couple of days ago that was talking about asked me to ask Wimps Anderson.
Yes.
I don't know that I mentioned that on the air, did I? I don't think we got into that yesterday.
No, not yesterday.
But anyway, it is interesting. Because I did. I asked Wimp, and John had said Wimp had mentioned on the air that he didn't think John Sumrall was going to be Auburn's next coach.
Wow.
And now, Wimp has some pretty good contacts.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
he's got a big one.
Well, yes, he does. Yes, he does. But, I mean, he knows quite a few folks, and then doing a show, he does as well. But so I asked him, and he said, well, he didn't know if that was a fact or not, but he said, he was told by someone about a week ago that when he said it looked like John Sumrall was going to be Auburn's next coach, he said this person told him, no, that's not going to happen.
Wow.
So, I mean, we will see.
Crazy.
If not John Sumrall, then who? I mean, John has been the constant. DJ John and DJ Durkin have been the constants throughout.
Yeah.
There's Kenny Dillingham talk. There's been Eli Drinkwitz talk. I mean, and I'm sure that John Cohen has vetted and talked to quite a few candidates that we probably aren't aware of.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And as we mentioned, I think yesterday, I don't think there was a lot of buzz around Mike Leach when John Cohen hired him at Mississippi State.
No, and what a home run.
Yeah. So, I mean, so that doesn't mean that it's somebody that hasn't been there at or near the top of his list all along. If it's not someone we've been talking about.
Yeah, you never know. It's interesting times, like you said yesterday.
Yeah, so we will we'd love your thoughts. You know, who do you think? I mean, we're getting closer to that deadline.
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming.
Speaking of DJ Durkin, I had a chance to be over there today as practice wrapped up, and obviously the first question that was asked of DJ Durkin was about quarterback, and I've got the audio. We can play you the audio. I'll send that to you, Drew, and we can play the whole thing in a little while. But DJ Durkin said Deuce Knight will start. So Deuce will get his first collegiate start, and we'll see how things go. He wouldn't go into how he did say both quarterbacks, both he and Jackson Arnold, will play, but he wouldn't go into how it's going to be. You know, it's tough to really – you don't want to pigeonhole it and say pin it down and say, all right, we're going to go every other series, or we're going to go different quarters, because you want to see if Deuce can get into a rhythm.
Right.
And if he does, you probably want to keep him out there for a few series.
You're exactly right, Bill. As a coach, I would hate to rotate him. I just don't think it's good for either one of those guys or the football team. Put him out there, let him go, and like you said, if it's, you know, three or four series and he's not doing anything, then you make a change. I never did like that rotation stuff.
Yeah, I think you've got to give him a chance to see if he can get a little bit of rhythm, but then if he does, then fine. Then you still have told Jackson that he's going to play, and you bring him in at some point, and you see how things are going with the game. The other question, I heard this asked a little while ago on, to Jacob and Christian was, you know, how's Mercer going to handle this?
Yeah.
And I doubt that they would just sit their stars, their best players, but I think they've got to be ready.
They got to be
in
careful.
Case.
Yes.
Because they need all their weapons.
Right.
For their postseason.
Right. That's a tough situation for that head coach to be in, but you're right. If it gets out of hand early, if I'm him, I'm pulling especially that quarterback and that defensive player. Two great ones.
Oh, yeah, pass rusher and the quarterback. I mean,
and, you know, take the money and stay safe and go win the national championship at that level.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
their goal when they start out.
Well, that'd be two great goals accomplished. Big paycheck.
Yeah, get out
and,
of town,
and win the big prize.
Play in a great environment, great stadium, crowd. It's tough.
All right, we will get to our first break of the afternoon. We're going to check in with Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer when we come back. So stick with us here on the Thursday Drive.
The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. And Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Thursday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Appreciate Don coming in again.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Dan has, again, been touring the Midwest. it looks like his flight's going to be too late for him to be on tomorrow.
Right.
So I guess he'll be in. I would guess I'll get to see him maybe in the press box Saturday for the Mercer game.
Yeah, because that'd be the next
time. I'm not sure when he's headed out to Vegas.
Well, you know, they have a game, I think, at home on Monday.
They have a game Monday. That's exactly right. They do have a home game Monday.
And, then
then he'll be they'll be on the road again. Yeah, it is a busy time. And, and our regular Thursday co-host when he can be here in the studio, but special guest now joining us on the Drive Hotline, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. It's a busy time for you. How are your travel plans, Ferg?
Yeah, really, really good. I thought I was going to have plenty of time to take care of something today. And I'm actually, just full disclosure, I'm trying to buy a new car. And I have been in the process of buying that car pretty much all day today in my
Montgomery. Oh, man.
So that's why I haven't been able to be in the studio. But I have... was able to pull away and talk to you guys before, you know, obviously this weekend with the Mercer game, and then I'm heading out to Vegas on Sunday night for to head out for Players Era and hopefully be back in plenty of time for the Iron Bowl next weekend.
Yeah, hopefully back in time for a little turkey and dressing and things like that before before the ball game. Hey, let's start off with basketball. You know, last night obviously Stephen Pearl was not thrilled with a few of the things there, but man, I've seen an awful lot of games against teams that you know you're much better than, especially coming off a loss. When you have a big road trip coming up where a team could go out and just sort of sleepwalk through it, really be sloppy. But that wasn't the case, I didn't really think, for the most part last night.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, this Jackson State team's not very good. Obviously, real small struggles in a number of areas. But, yeah, Auburn winning by the margin they did. And I mean, just really just taking care of business. I mean, I don't think you don't get any extra points, you know, for a win if you do it in different ways. I think, you know, when you get in these matchups like this, especially with a new team, still trying to learn how to play with one another and how to play consistently in these systems, if you got a clear advantage, go in and hammer it. And last night was the best two-point shooting performance by an Auburn team in the last 30 years.
I didn't realize that.
They barely missed anything from two. Ton of dunks, ton of layups. Yeah, just take it right to where a team is at its weakest point. They did a really good job of that. Got a lot of different dudes involved. Philip Jovic having the big performance he had. I thought Keyshawn Murphy was excellent.
Absolutely. I wanted you to talk about Keyshawn. I mean, he has such a nice touch around the basket. I mean, his aren't all dunks. I mean, he is really dangerous, you know, from like 6 feet in with a really soft touch.
Yeah, I mean, for a guy who missed as much time as he has and then, you know, in this game, lead the team in scoring and in rebounding in 20 minutes. When he's not 100% health wise, I thought it was pretty telling. I mean, he's a great player. He's a great athlete. You know, that really helps him as a rim protector and a guy who can play above the rim on offense. But yeah, he's got really good touch. You know, he's very efficient around the basket. These are things that he was really good at Mississippi State. He was just doing it, you know, kind of coming off the bench and in a different role. So, you know, I thought he has been a guy that I think is really, you know, he's going to be super valuable for this team this season because of his work at center. But, you know, you get Jovic involved the way they did. Elijah Freeman had a good game as well. Sebastian Williams-Adams just doesn't miss shots from the field, it seems like, at any point anymore. You got Emeka Okorum in the game a good bit. You got some guys to get downhill and around the basket from the guard spot. So that was really, really good to see. And then, you know, I think for Auburn, you know, you want to be more consistent on defense. You lost some of that in the second half because you just weren't really playing a lot of starters anymore, and you were experimenting with your lineups. And then at the end, you know, not just Simon Walker shooting, you know, 5 for 5 in his first 5 touches as a college basketball player. You know, yeah, after all he's been through, but I just thought Auburn just, you know, really did a good job of sharing the ball and hitting those catch and shoot looks against that zone. And, you know, who knows? Shooting can be contagious. The fact that Auburn finished so well, you know, in those jump shots towards the end, maybe that's something they can carry on the plane with them to Vegas next week.
Yeah, you sure hope so. I mean, and Simon was just unconscious. I mean, I don't know if he called the bank, but man, the others were, I mean, they were no doubters. They were nothing but net.
Oh yeah. I mean, and you know, he's a guy that I think, give him time, he's going to be a very valuable player for you. He's got good size at 6'5".
He does.
You know, before his injury, you know, in the summer, Stephen Pearl was raving about how he was playing defense and just saying, hey, this guy's going to help us out right now. Obviously, he has the foot injury, and he's been out for the last couple weeks, but I mean, or a couple months, but did a really, really good job. And, yeah, he's just a great shooter. You know, he's a guy also that I think, you know, you never know how guys fit in. You know, a lot of these guys, you know, especially if you're out of high school, if you're getting recruited at this level, you're probably used to taking a ton of shots a game, you know, 30, 40-point nights and stuff like that. Simon Walker played on a Huntsville High team that had a lot of good players. He didn't shoot, like, a crazy amount. He didn't score a crazy amount. And I think some people saw that and just kind of turned their nose up at it because he just didn't have crazy numbers out of high school for what you would expect a blue chip guard could have. But I think it's really works out for him because he's already adept at being that catch and shoot guy, that secondary, that tertiary kind of option as a scorer. And so I think he really showed that last night.
There's no question about it. I mean, the thing is, when you start off like that, it's really hard to go, okay, now where do you go from here? Because he's not going to be perfect every time out. But no, you're right. I mean, I can recall, I mean, Stephen Pearl has been talking about him, and I think a lot of folks had forgotten. That Stephen had been talking about him back in the preseason, and that's a great start for him and an opportunity for him, I think, to earn more playing time. I'm looking forward to seeing more and more of him as we still don't know. You got a feel for Key when he'll be back.
Yeah, I mean it's tough because I think he's the one that when. The injury happened. There was a lot of nervousness about it. I know Monday and Tuesday, just a word I kept hearing was, okay, the x-rays are negative. Mm-hmm. We think we've avoided the worst. They're optimistic that he could be back sooner rather than later. But it's just going to be a matter of, okay, how quick is that, knowing that it is a long season. And, throwing him back in next week at players there, it's tough because it's the toughest stretch you're going to get until you get to the SEC tournament because you're playing 3 games in 3 days. So it'll be very interesting to see. I would think, I think there were some fans that are like, oh, he's going to be out for a while. They're afraid that he won't be out back to the start of the new year. I don't think it's going to be that long. I wouldn't be surprised if he does lace them up and play at some point in Vegas. But on the other hand, I think, it would make sense if they were cautious about it, if he's not feeling up to it. Last night he was in a walking boot. I thought he was moving around. Well, the couple times I've seen him this week, it hasn't looked like he's been – it's really like giving him a ton of, problems right now. So, I think Auburn's going to play it set on the safer end. But I wouldn't be surprised if he goes out and plays at some point next week in Vegas.
Yeah, in the meantime, it is giving extra minutes to, like, Sway, as you mentioned a little while ago. And then, Elijah Freeman just continues to flash. I mean, you see just some unbelievable highlights from him. It appears every ball game.
It does, and I think Elijah Freeman's got, I'm getting some early Chuma Okeke vibes from him, and what I mean by that is there was a stretch before he became like a star, commodity in this league where he was showing flashes, and it was just a matter of, okay, when he does that consistently, when that switch gets flipped, mm-hmm. look out. And I think, you're starting to see a lot of that from Freeman early on. He is – I mean, he did some of everything last night. I looked up, and it was like,
He was on his way to a triple-double midway through the first half.
Right, yeah. I mean, yeah, he was like 8-5. He was like 8-5-6 or something like that pretty quickly. And so, yeah, a really, really good game from him. I think he does a really good job. I thought last night Stephen Pearl was very pleased with the fact that he took coaching well. You go back to that Houston game, Elijah's not the thickest guy in the world. There's some plays where Houston just knocks him to the ground because he's not going up, off of 2 feet. He's kind of playing a little bit more finesse, and he gets knocked to the ground. And that turns into a 5-on-4 situation. That turns on to easy points on the other end. Jackson State's not Houston, obviously, but you saw him last night. And you can go watch and see how many times he drives the lane, and he keeps that base solid so he can play make off of it or finish off of it. And so if he does that against some of the teams they got moving forward, I think he's going to be – in a really, really good spot. Just very, very fun player who last night got a lot of opportunities to show what he was capable of with Keyshawn Hall out.
Yeah, so I thought, yeah, it was a solid performance as Auburn gets ready to head out to the players' era. And, man, they jump right into it. Nobody does a better job of scouting other teams for the fans, I think, than you do, Justin. I mean, just give us a little brief scouting report on the two teams we know that Auburn's going to be playing, Oregon and Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, Oregon is, Dana Altman, one thing about Oregon every year, they're going to be gigantic, and they mm-hmm. are. They are the tall, tall trees that they have up at Oregon. They are really, really big team that has had to kind of play through some fire early in the year. They've had several close wins at home against teams that really, quite frankly, shouldn't be on their level. You know, I think a lot of people made a lot out of, like, the Bethune-Cookman game for Auburn, and for obvious reasons. I think Oregon's had about, like, two or three Bethune-level games this year where it's just, like, they have to kind of find a way in crunch time to win or hold on. And so, you know, they're going to be tested in that area. Not a team that is shooting the ball particularly well right now. Had some turnover issues. So, offensively, still trying to find their identity. But they rebound the heck out of the ball. They've got a pretty good defense. They're one of the tallest teams in the country. So not quite the level of, like, hey, this is Houston rough and tumble basketball. But, you know, you've got a team that's going to have a lot of size. And they're not going to, you know, they go down, they're not going to be daunted by it at all. They beat Alabama last year in this event and won the event. So they're going to have a lot of motivation coming in. Starting off with an Auburn team that, you know, I think Auburn's going to have to do a good job of rebounding and kind of bringing that same hard hat, you know, kind of physicality that they brought to the Houston game. They got to do it against Oregon. And then with Michigan, I mean, this is a Michigan team that is fantastic.
Yes.
In every way.
Yes, indeed.
They are, you know, they have as much size as anybody in the country. They're going to bring a 7'4 kid in it from time to time. Yaxel Lindenberg, the excellent UAB transfer, turns mm-hmm. down the NBA to go play at Michigan. He's been excellent this season. You know, they've got some familiar faces. You know, they're the, you know, North Carolina point guard Ellie Cadeau's there now running the show. They got some shooters around. They're really settling. They were a team that did an excellent job kind of early on of maybe being a little bit ahead of schedule for what Dusty May's done. You know, this team's going to run really great offensive stuff. They run very complex system, and they have a really good roster to build around it. Their defense hasn't been quite where they wanted it to be at this point, so I think that'll be a really fun chess match between the two sides. But, yeah, I mean, this is a Michigan team that's in the top 10. If Auburn were to win in Vegas, that'll be one of the best wins they could get on the schedule all year long. So that's going to be a heck of a matchup, you know, on Tuesday out in Vegas. This is a – it's a game that, you know, that Michigan team's got a ton of experience, you know, a ton of just talent. And, you know, Dusty May's one of the best X's and O's coaches in the country, as Auburn obviously saw last season when they had to come back to beat them in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, and then another ball game. We'll find out who Auburn gets to play and when they actually play. But you mentioned top 10. You got two more top 10 teams, including the number one, well, two top five teams that you'll have to play over the next month away from Auburn as well with Arizona and Purdue.
Yeah, Arizona looks incredible.
Goodness.
To start the season, you know, what they go and do with UConn last night, I was impressed. Koa Pete, I mean, this is a freshman class that is just phenomenal with so many great lottery touts. Koa Pete's right there with all those guys. You know, was really the reason why they were able to beat, you know, Michigan. I'm sorry, they were able to beat Florida on the opening night. So, yeah, just a really, really good, all, you know, well-rounded basketball team. And then Purdue, you know, obviously went to Tuscaloosa and won.
Yep.
Not too long ago. Braden Smith's the best point guard in the country. Trey Kaufman-Wren's even better than he was last season. I think for Auburn, it's like if you get into a situation where you win a couple of these games moving forward, you pick off one or two of these top 10 wins, I mean, that's success enough. You don't get hurt at all by playing this kind of schedule.
No, not at all.
And it can only help you. So they're going to have plenty of opportunities to stack on that resume. Came real close against Houston, obviously. And they're going to feel like they can try to get over the hump and maybe get one more here, you know, either in Vegas or, you know, upcoming when they go on the road to play in Arizona and in Indy.
Man, it is. It's no question. I mean, what a great schedule and some great opportunities there. And I haven't seen anything that's telling me they don't have a shot of winning any of these ball games.
Oh, 100%. This team's got a ton of confidence. I'll tell you. You heard it from Stephen Pearl after the Houston game, and he really meant it. I mean, going to practice all last week, that was a team that left Auburn heading to Birmingham fully expecting to go and beat Houston. I know very very few people would have thought they were capable of that. But they came really, really close, and they've got a ton of belief right now, and they should.
Talking with Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. Fer, can you stick with us for a few minutes?
I have to get another call real quick.
We've got to get to break, so we'll check back with you here momentarily, and we'll talk a little football as Ferg trying to get the deal done on a new vehicle, and we will take care of some business here as we get to the bottom of the hour. Stick with us here on the Thursday Drive.
And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Thursday afternoon. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Drew at the controls. Justin trying to get a deal done, trying to get a new vehicle. So we will, we'll talk with him. He's going to call back here, when he gets the opportunity. Said he had to take another call. So he will check. As a matter of fact, he's good to get called back. He just texted me. So we'll, check back in with, Ferg here momentarily as we talked basketball with him, and he will be heading out to Las Vegas for the Players Era Tournament, where, I mean, man, what a field they have out there. For the Players Era. I mean, let's see if I can run them down. Monday night, Tennessee Rutgers. Well, that's actually Monday afternoon. Tennessee Rutgers, Baylor Creighton, Kansas Notre Dame, St. John's Iowa State,
wow.
Houston, and then in the evening, Houston Syracuse, Oregon Auburn, Alabama Gonzaga, Michigan, San Diego State, and Maryland, UNLV. That's day one.
That's like the NCAA tournament.
It is. It is an unbelievable field. And, yeah, Ferg will be out there.
So they're guaranteed three games, correct?
Right.
Okay.
And just don't
know who they'll play.
You know, Auburn could play, you know, there's quite a few different teams. I don't know. Ferg, we'll get back to Ferg. I don't know. Are you guaranteed three games, Ferg? Or is it just
– Yes, you are.
Okay.
You are guaranteed three games. The way I've heard it is this. If Auburn wins either of the first two, they will play on Wednesday. There is a chance they could play on Thursday, but I think they would have to lose the first two and then, like, be one of the worst teams in the field. There's only a couple of, like, consolation games at the end. But, yes, you are guaranteed three.
Okay. Well, when we were talking with Andy, that's what he was talking about. You know, he's sure hoping – that Auburn's playing on Wednesday and not on Thanksgiving.
Yes, that would make all of our lives a lot easier. you know, I could, you know, my family's doing Thanksgiving on Friday.
Nice.
They were so helpful with that, and it's what they did last year when I was in Maui as well. So, I would just love to be there on Friday and plenty of time. So that's the goal.
Yeah, I hear you. So that'll be a ton of fun. There's no question about that next week. Meanwhile, football-wise, interesting. I wondered where you were this morning. I didn't realize what you were doing. But interesting that DJ Durkin, you know, has confirmed or went ahead and said Deuce Knight will get the start Saturday against Mercer.
Yep, 100. Yeah, and it makes a ton of sense to me. You know, I think. What happens – we were talking about this earlier in the week with somebody. It's like, what happens if you get in a situation where you give it to Jackson Arnold and he struggles early and then that situation just goes kind of flat and, you know, kind of early on, kind of sucks the life out of the building. On the flip side, you go and roll out a freshman there, get some excitement, get some energy, give him his first extended run. I think that would be a good thing. And if something happens to go wrong –
Right, then you've got a guy.
Jackson Arnold, mm-hmm. So I think it's the best setup, and you know I'm excited to see what Deuce Knight does in his first extended work. You know, his only time we've seen him so far wasn't great, but it was garbage time against a bad team. We'll see. Mercer's going to come in with some fight for sure.
It sure seems like everyone feels like Deuce has really stepped it up. I'm sure the adrenaline's really flowing in him. I mean, he knows this. He's got an opportunity this week, and that's something that you know, when he was able to get in earlier, it was just sort of mop up duty. This has got to be something that's really got him pumped. But it sounds like he's had a good week of practice.
Yeah, you know, and I thought, you know, Tuesday when we were out at practice, I mean, I thought he did a really, really good job of. I thought he did a really good job throwing the ball. I thought he was excellent. With his placement, I thought he looked like he was a step above. It looked like he was a step above where Jackson Arnold was kind of throwing the ball. So, yeah, I mean, it only makes sense that, you know, hey, this is your first real run. You got extended reps here. Plenty of excitement there for him, and there should be. And I'm excited to see what he's done. It seems like his teammates are really excited to see him too.
One thing that it appears is that you know, the team played with a lot of emotion, I felt, and a lot of energy against Vandy, and the little bits of practice that we've seen and been able to hear, sounds like they're still looking forward to playing.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's a really good thing. You know, I think nobody wanted to talk this week about the Iron Bowl, and for good reason. I think, look, here's the bottom line. Mercer's better than South Alabama and better than Ball State.
You're right,
like,
there.
This Mercer team is good. So you're going to have to play a good game to take care of business. But I think, obviously, you know, you do play that good game, you do take care of business. What happens from there? If you're Auburn, you come out of it and think, okay, this is a, you know, we've got momentum heading into the Iron Bowl. We could pull off the upset. We could, you know, what all that can mean for
you
Auburn.
You can ruin their year. You could get yourself extra time and a bowl game if you beat Mercer and pull off that upset.
Yep, it's just, I mean, I think it's one of those things where it's just you do a really, really good job of taking advantage of your circumstances. And look, nobody wanted to be in this spot, but you're in it, so you might as well go and try to make the most of it. And I think Auburn's leaders have been really good about that all season long, and especially here during this interim stretch.
Yeah, now, of course, I mean, the big story, the looming one that, you know, everyone's waiting for, we'll see when it does happen, you know, if it happens as soon as John Cohen would like. But that is, you know, who's going to be Auburn's next coach? There have been, you know, some rumblings here and there. There are always these different reports, which I think a lot of them are put out there by representatives and agents for the coaches to get the news out there. I thought the John Sumrall news yesterday, the word that he was going to interview with Florida and then no, he's withdrawing from consideration. I thought that was that seemed pretty strategic to me, that to remind people that yes, he is a very wanted property, and just remind them that other schools are interested, you know, not maybe just the one or two that you've been hearing about.
Yeah, 100%. I think you know, also the news coming out the way it did and how it did, I thought was a good sign for Auburn. I'm gonna be honest, you know, this is a guy that I think has been towards the top, if not the top, of Auburn's board for a while. You know, it's, you know, we're still, what, 8, 9, 10 days away from making a hire at this point?
Yeah, probably 10, yeah.
You know, right now, though, if I had to make a bet, I think John Sumrall is going to be your next head coach at Auburn, but we'll see. I mean, I think it's, you know, there's still a lot of ball game, so to speak, between now and then. Obviously, the strategic kind of elements of, okay, Tulane's still playing for a playoff spot,
yeah,
still playing for the, you know, the conference title, that throws you know, a wrench into things. But you know, everything I've heard really the last, let's say, 24, 48 hours have been, you know, really positive in terms of Auburn and Sumrall. You know, there's going to be other options. There's going to be, you know, you gotta have a plan. You gotta have plans in case your other plans don't go the way you do. But, you know, I think what all went down yesterday with Sumrall, I think, was just a pretty good reminder that, yeah, he is a coveted candidate in this search. And, you know, I think Auburn has done a good job of going ahead and making sure he knows he's one of the priorities in the search.
If it is to be John Sumrall, how do you think it plays out if Tulane is indeed a, you know, the right now they're the number 12 seed in the playoff. If they make the playoff, how do you think this would work? What would be the best situation, do you think?
It's fascinating. You know, obviously, I think this is where DJ Durkin comes into play for Auburn, and I think you could have a situation if you're Auburn where you say, hey, we'd like to make you our next head coach. If you want to finish out your season, you know, with your school, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. I mean, it's a good advertisement. And we have the interim in place, you know, and a guy that, you know, John Cohen saying this week, you know, everybody they've talked to, you know, has said, there's been no negative about – potentially keeping Durkin on staff. So you could be set up where, you know, you have a head coach and he might be finishing up at another spot, but you have somebody in here who can do the things like, you know, help you in recruiting, get a jump start on the portal. You know, what else goes on there?
And retain players.
Yeah, and retaining players obviously being a huge, huge one there. I'll say this. I think it there's a couple of I had said originally, it's like, okay, you know, like what Auburn, when Auburn had to play Scott Frost and UCF back in 17, it's kind of, you know, hey, you want to finish out your season at your group of five school before you move on up to a bigger job? You're already named the head coach, but, you know, you'll finish out your thing there. I can see him going in that direction. Somebody else made a good point. It's a different sport, and it's a different scenario. Could be like Will Wade finishing things up in McNeese before going to NC State this past tournament as well. I mean, I think there's some parallels there to that. So, you know, I think it could work. Obviously, I don't know what the rules are anymore in terms of having a coach and retaining a coach and keeping them around for a playoff or not, because apparently Ole Miss is, you know, trying to play chicken with the best coach they've ever had. So, you know, who knows what that is going to end up looking like.
Yeah, no kidding. The coaching carousel is crazy. I said it's not a carousel, man. It's a tilt-a-whirl, or it's you know, something a whole lot scarier than a carousel or wilder. Justin, man, really appreciate you spending a little time with us. Are you still on track? You're going to be able to get the new vehicle?
Yep, I'm about to go ahead and head back and pick it up. They had to, basically, long story short, bought it and all that. Had some stuff they had to do in detailing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Make sure they get all that done. Oh yes.
Correct. I told them, hey, take your time. I'm here. You know, don't worry about it. So I wasn't able to get in with y'all today, but I'm glad I was able to hop on.
Man, well, congratulations on that, and have a great trip. Let everybody know. I mean, there's so much information there at the Auburn Observer. I mean, every single day, let folks, you know, who for some reason aren't taking advantage of it, you know what you've got and how they can get it.
Yeah, auburnobserver.com. Check it out. Been a lot of basketball this week, football getting ready for the Mercer game tomorrow. We got another 2-for-1 Friday, like we like to call it there. Dan and I are going to do a podcast tonight. We'll talk football and basketball and get you set up for that for our subscribers. And then also out tomorrow morning, a mailbag, some football and a lot of basketball in that as well. So Auburn football, Auburn basketball, a ton of info, a ton of analysis going on there. I'm going to be at the Mercer game through this weekend, and then I'm heading out to Vegas on Sunday night. I'm going to be there for Players Era. So I'll have coverage from Vegas for all three of those games. So it's a great time to subscribe. AuburnObserver.com, $6 a month or $60 a year. Get you on board. We email everything we do straight to your inbox when it drops. We're going to have a ton of it here these next couple of weeks. So it's a great time to jump on.
No question about it. Highly recommended, folks. Ferg, really appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us. If I don't see you in the box on Saturday, safe travels and happy Thanksgiving.
Y'all too. I'll be sure to seek you out tomorrow, or I said Saturday. I'm losing track of days at this point, but yeah,
oh, I hear
we'll
you.
See y'all there, and happy Thanksgiving. And Coach Dunn,
yes, sir.
Hey, to miss you today, but happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Same to you, buddy. Safe travels. You do a great job. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Coach.
Justin Ferguson joining us. Couldn't make it in, but how about that? While he's waiting for his cardigan detail that he's just bought, he's on the air with us, so that's great. All right, we will get to our final break of hour number one. We'll open up the phone lines for a short period, and then we'll have David Pascal, and then we'll just about be out of time. I didn't think about that. We have Auburn women's basketball coming up today, Auburn and Rutgers, so we'll be out a little early, but stick with us anyway here on the Thursday Drive.
This is Coach Stephen Pearl, and you're listening to The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll-free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in to hour number one of the Thursday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Drew at the controls. And let's see, tomorrow I'll be headed back to the Game Day Men's Health Clinic. My weekly stop in there. Look, Game Day Men's Health, they're here in Auburn off of Moores Mill Road. And they can handle a lot of your wellness solutions for guys, testosterone therapy, vitamin injections, weight loss.
Yeah.
I definitely need a little help there.
Yeah.
ED treatments.
Do.
I mean, they can handle it all. Great folks there at Game Day Men's Health. You can give them a call, 334-209-3706. If you have any questions or just go in and see them, there's a great consultation, and you'll do a medical background, and they'll do some blood work and figure exactly what you need to get you back on track. If you've been dragging, don't have the energy that you used to have.
Yeah, and they're open till 6, you said, right?
That is right.
Awesome.
Yep, Game Day Men's Health off Moores Mill Road. We're coming up on our top of the hour break, and David Pascal from Chattanooga will join us on the other side. We'll get his thoughts on college football and basketball, I would imagine, as well, and the coaching searches going on around the SEC and the country. I mean, there's a lot we'll talk with David about. It'll be our final time with David before Thanksgiving, so looking forward to that coming up on the other side. Don't forget Auburn women's basketball coming up around 5:40 or so. We'll be heading out because Auburn and Rutgers will be on the air here on ESPN 106.7, so we'll be leaving a little early this afternoon. But stick with us. Still plenty more to come on the Thursday edition of The Drive.
Capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Thursday Drive. Going to be an abbreviated second hour because we have Auburn women's basketball coming up, and the pregame will start at 5:45. So we'll be out a little early today as the Auburn women look to continue their perfect start to the season. Meanwhile, the Auburn men bounce back after that one-point loss in Birmingham to Houston as they steamrolled Jackson State last night. Yeah. Look, a Jackson State team coming in that was winless.
Yeah.
But I thought Auburn played well, and a couple of young guys really getting the opportunity to step up. A couple of freshmen, Philip Jovich with 18 points and a couple of big-time slams. And then Simon Walker, the freshman from Huntsville who had been out all season with a broken foot,
gets his
first appearance on the collegiate level, and all he does is go 5 for 5 from three as Auburn wins 112-66.
Yeah.
And that's sort of their tune-up before they head out to Las Vegas for the Players Era tournament, which is, I mean, what an unbelievable field
Monday,
that is.
Monday, right, Bill?
Monday night will be Auburn's first game, 7 o'clock against Oregon. And speaking of that, we're moving things around because there's Auburn women's basketball, which will be right here on ESPN 106.7 on Monday. So the Drive will be moving over to Wings 94.3 on Monday, and we will lead into Tiger Talk. And Tiger Talk will also be a combination of Tiger Talk and basketball pregame before Auburn-Oregon at 7, all that on Wings 94.3. So that's coming up on Monday. But right now, it's Thursday, And we're pleased to be joined once again by our good friend from Chattanooga, who just wrapped up his show on WGOW there in Chattanooga, and a longtime writer with the Chattanooga Times Free Press. That is David Pascal. Hey, David, how are you doing today?
Bill, I'm doing great. I hope y'all are doing well. It's really funny. That tournament that you're talking about out in Vegas does have a monster lineup, but it's also really weird because everybody's schedule, you know, you play on a Monday and Tuesday, and then after
and then you
that,
don't
nobody
know.
Really knows yeah. what the deal is. We actually, our state, because we're a Tennessee Ball Network affiliate,
uh-huh.
and, you know, we actually had someone from the Ball Network send an email. And he sent it to all the affiliates saying, we are so sorry about this tournament that we don't know anymore, you know, because nobody knows any times Wednesday or Thursday. It's just if you're not in the first place game or the consolation game, you're going to be all over the map both Wednesday and Thursday.
That's right. I mean, the consolation game the third place game is at 7, the championship game at 9:30, and you don't know about anybody else. We talked with Andy Burcham. Well, I guess it was Tuesday, and Andy's saying, you know, he's just hoping that Auburn plays sometime on Wednesday so he can be back home and have a little bit of a breather before, you know, before the Iron Bowl on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. I think some of these schools realize this thing's kind of, I mean, it sounds good with all these teams, but they're like, man, there are a bunch of people this is affecting for just that. I mean, holiday travel and eating Thanksgiving with your family and that kind of thing.
Yeah, we had Ferg on with us. He was buying a car, so he wasn't able to be with us here in the studio. But his family has moved Thanksgiving back to Friday. Don, y'all are doing Thanksgiving on Wednesday because of things that are going on, people coming in, and it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, Thursday will be my only normal day next week because I'll do the double header. I'll do Georgia Tech on Friday and then Tennessee Vanderbilt on Saturday.
Wow.
Oh man, that will be fun. It is rivalry weekend is really something, and it's you know that there's probably a little more spark from Auburn people about the Iron Bowl now. I mean, after the coaching change has been made, and Auburn played much better offensively against Vandy. You know, not only do the Tigers have a chance to get to a bowl game if they can beat Mercer and upset Alabama, but they got a chance to ruin the Tide season.
Yeah, and you just think about that game last week and just how, I mean, think about the last two Auburn-Vandy games, because last year in Jordan-Hare it was, what, 17-7?
Mm-hmm.
And then this one was 45-38. I know everybody was happy to see the offense. I don't know what happened to the defense other than, you know, when you face Diego Pavia, things like that can happen. But I was equally surprised to Auburn defensively because they had been, you know, obviously one of three teams in the country that had not given up more than 24 points in any game. And that thing definitely had the feel of whoever had the ball last. And, of course, 60 minutes didn't decide it.
Yeah, well, one of the things, I mean, we've talked to DJ Durkin a couple of times since then. I think Jason Caldwell asked him about, you know, comparing it to drinking water from a fire hose because he was having to try to deal with being the head coach there and watching, you know, what's going on the field while his offense was on the field, where he normally is over on the sideline making adjustments and talking with his defensive players as they come off the field. And that's something he really couldn't do, but they've had a couple of weeks now to try to get that down. So we'll see. You know, Mercer coming in, I think Mercer is every bit as good as, or better. I think they're better than Ball State for sure and South Alabama that, you know, Auburn – didn't exactly, dominate completely. So they're going to have to be careful against this Mercer team that comes in with a freshman quarterback who's thrown for over 3,000 yards. I guess our biggest question has been, is Mercer going to hold some of their guys out because they need them all for their postseason?
You know, it's an interesting dynamic because UTC is in the Southern Conference like Mercer, mm-hmm. and UTC, you know, their big money game was Memphis that they lost, and then they played Tarleton State out in Texas. It's a really good FCS team. But then they've gotten hammered several times this year. One was by Tennessee Tech, which was 10-0 going to Kentucky last week. And then this past week, they kicked a field goal to take a 3-0 lead against Mercer, and then Mercer scored 56 straight against the Mocs. So,
yeah.
You know, Auburn needs to take Mercer. Whatever Kentucky did against Tennessee Tech is what Auburn needs to do against Mercer, because Kentucky, you know, everybody was talking about Kentucky beating Auburn and beating Florida, and could they have a letdown against Tennessee Tech? No, they went right after Tennessee Tech and took control of that game quickly. You know, Auburn's got to have the same thing, and I guess, you know, I heard today where the reports were that Deuce Knight was going to get the start, and
yep.
That would certainly be, you know, that's certainly someone to rally around and, you know, something to take seriously because, yeah, Mercer is a very, very good. The Southern Conference is really down this year, but Mercer is your one gargantuan exception. So, you know, that you know, if Auburn can rally around Deuce Knight and Durkin can show that improvement game one to game two defensively from what you're talking about, kind of having his ducks in a row during the game on, you know, and handling that defense in addition to being head coach, you know, maybe they take a huge step there and take care of business. But yeah, Mercer's no joke.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, this being the week before rivalry week, it is not as star studded, but there's some pretty interesting ball games this weekend. Let's talk a little bit about the Florida Tennessee game. There's been a lot of discussion there. I mean, there's so many people that are watching the Florida coaching situation, but I'm just still trying to figure exactly what to think about this matchup down in Gainesville.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic for sure. I mean, Tennessee entered this season with a 10-game losing streak in Tuscaloosa and a 10-game losing streak in Gainesville.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, now the Tuscaloosa streak is up to 11. But they're very different streaks because if you look, a lot of people lose in Tuscaloosa. A lot of people have losing streaks in Tuscaloosa. But the wild thing about the one in Gainesville is ever since Tennessee – ever since this streak started, and Tennessee's last win there was 2003, so and that's former beating Zook, to put that in perspective. Mm. But ever since that streak started, every team in the league has won in Gainesville since this streak started, except Tennessee. Now, the only exceptions would be Georgia, because they always play in Jacksonville.
Right.
Oklahoma, because they just joined the league, and Texas, because they just joined the league, and Texas actually lost there early last month. But it's crazy how every other team has had success in the Swamp but Tennessee in this stretch. It's also crazy that if Florida wins Saturday night, this would be, in this streak, it would be the fifth Florida team to beat Tennessee with a losing record.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've had bad Will Muschamp
yep.
teams, bad McElwain team. I mean, all these teams that Florida's had that have been down, you know, this streak started with really good Urban Meyer teams, but there have been some bad Florida teams that have still found a way to beat Tennessee. The key for Tennessee will be, can they stop the bleeding? Because that's been the big issue in Heupel's two trips down there. Heupel's first trip in 2021, they took a 14-10 lead, and Florida scored the last 28 points to win 38-14. And then 2 years ago, Tennessee went right down the field to take a 7-0
yep.
lead, but then Florida scored the next 26 points. Tennessee has been better at stopping the bleeding this year. You look at the Georgia game, Georgia scored 20 straight points when they got down 21-7, but then Tennessee hit a big pass from Aguilar to Brazel, and then that game went back and forth. And even the Bama game, the way that game ended at halftime with Alabama's 99-yard interception return, Tennessee, to its credit, forced a 3-and-out and scored the first possession of the second half to kind of keep that thing competitive. So they've been better at stopping the bleeding, but that will definitely be a big key Saturday because they haven't been able to do that in the Swamp.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. You mentioned Kentucky a little while ago. Vandy, that magical season that they have, a few weeks ago it looked like, well, you know, their only concern is going to be going to Knoxville, but Kentucky has really played better here over the last few weeks. It seemed like once the seat really warmed up for Mark Stoops, somehow it's translated into that team catching fire.
Yeah, that it would not surprise me if this is the best SEC game of Saturday, and I am totally intrigued by this game because of reasons that you mentioned and also because of just the storyline with Vanderbilt. If you go back to last Saturday night in Oxford, Mississippi, Lane Kiffin was actually asked a question about Trinidad Chambliss, and just with it being senior night, mm-hmm. and Lane Kiffin, in kind of a mocking Spurrier-esque kind of way, although he brings up some valid points, he goes, I forgot it was senior night. Why do we even have senior night anymore? We ought to have just portal night, and just because everybody's about to go in the portal anyway.
Yeah.
And obviously there's a lot of truth to that, but Vanderbilt is your perfect example of Vanderbilt's fifth-year seniors. When they take the field Saturday against Kentucky, the very first time they took the field as Commodores, it was Clark Lee's first game, and they got beat 23-3 by East Tennessee State.
Mm. Yeah.
And now they are sitting there 8-2, number 12 in the country in the AP poll, number 14 in the playoff rankings. But they've come, as we all know, a long, long way. I mean, you think about it, their 21 team went 0-8 in SEC play. Their 23 team went 0-8 in SEC play and lost all eight games by at least 16 points. I mean, this is a program that has, I mean, these guys just were beat up time and time again. But these, you know, they stuck together, and then all of a sudden you infuse Diego Pavia, Eli Stowers, the New Mexico State influence on that program. And now they're sitting there with an outside shot at the playoffs. Vanderbilt has never had a 9-win regular season as an SEC member, and that's what's on the table Saturday.
Wow, I didn't realize that. I guess, you know, teams only played 10 games at the most for a long time. So
Vandy's only 9-win regular seasons to this point have happened in 1904 and 1915.
Wow. Wow. Well, I'm hoping they get to 9. We'll see, but yeah, that is amazing. Couple of ball games, a couple of SEC matchups where the home teams are pretty solid favorites. But I don't know why. I've got a feeling that one or both of them could be closer, and that's Arkansas at Texas and Missouri at Oklahoma.
I agree. I think they're both closer than the point spreads. I think, you know, it's all up to Texas. What's that psyche?
Yep.
I mean, you're talking about the preseason number one, and they just really got it handed to them in the fourth quarter the other night. A 14-10 game became 35-10 in Athens. And so now there's no playoff. Now, I mean,
they're fortunate they're not 5-5.
Do what now?
I said they're fortunate they're not 5-5.
True. And you also kind of have that look-ahead factor. Because,
yep.
I mean, they do have two huge rivalry games, but I don't know. I mean, this isn't the old Southwest Conference days right now, so I don't know how much they're getting up for Arkansas, especially mm-hmm. knowing that they can spoil Texas A&M's season, or maybe not completely spoil it, but certainly put a dent into it next week. So I think it's really intriguing. Of course, you had Sarkisian on the SEC teleconference yesterday talking about, you know, addressing his rumors and saying, I wish people would, you know, stop posting stuff that have zero credence and, you know, credibility to them. So you got Texas is just in an interesting dynamic this week. And then with OU and Mizzou, you know, an old Big Eight from back in the day, Prabula, you know, does he play? What's the situation there? That factors into it. But, yeah, you've got Oklahoma coming off a monster
right.
victory in Tuscaloosa. And you know, the thing about Oklahoma that's so wild is just the script they've been writing. I mean, their Tennessee and Alabama games were so similar. In those two games, they were outgained by 300 combined yards, yet they had a huge defensive touchdown that basically covered the entire field. And then I tell you, I know he's not going to get MVP or anything like that, but that Tate Sandell kicker for Oklahoma is just incredible.
He's
21 of 22. He's 7 of 7 from beyond 50. I mean, you talk about a weapon. I mean, if that game's close, and most Oklahoma games are, that there's your difference.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it has been one where they, you know, They have done what they needed. It hasn't always been pretty, but I mean they've been able to make the plays. Sometimes the yardage that you don't notice, the return yardage has been huge for them, and their ability to capitalize when they've had those opportunities has just been fabulous for Oklahoma. So those are going to be interesting, David. By the time we talk again, how many new coaches do you think we'll have in the SEC? I mean, we talked the Thursday after the, you know, the Thursday leading up to championship Saturday since next week's Thanksgiving. I think that multiple schools hope they have a new coach by then.
it's an interesting dynamic because you could also ask how many more schools would Lane Kiffin string along in the next few weeks. That's certainly out there. But, you know, it is interesting because you've got this, you know, there's your home run that everyone's trying to land, or you've got multiple schools trying to land. But it almost seems like if you are an Auburn or an Arkansas or some of these schools that are looking for coaches, it almost seems like just for the tidiness, the nice and neat and, you know, trying to handle this portal and getting good as quick as you can, it almost benefits you searching for those coaches that have had successful seasons but are just on the outside looking in. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about the college football playoff. And right now, Summerall fits that category. Golish, you hear him mentioned from Arkansas, he fits that category. So it just seems like that's almost the pool to look in to where you don't have to worry about conflicting with a playoff run if a coach gets in it.
Yeah, it's going to be really entertaining. There's so much going on that we'll be following, and of course we really appreciate it every time we have an opportunity to talk to you. Let everybody know how they can keep up with everything that you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. The article's at timesfreepress.com and Sport Talk is WGOW.com. And did you say Don was with you today?
Yes, I'm here, buddy. How you doing?
Excellent. Hope you've been doing well.
Doing great. Thank you.
Awesome. Always great hearing from you, Don.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Again, David, thanks a lot. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and we'll talk to you again in December.
That sounds great. You and your families have a wonderful Thanksgiving as well as all your listeners.
All right. Take care, David.
Absolutely. You too.
David Pascal joining us from Chattanooga. We need to get to our first break of hour number two. Again, we've got a shortened second hour, so we'll be right back here on the Thursday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final few minutes here on this Thursday as we have Auburn women's basketball coming up, and we'll go to that in just a little while. We'll be back in the studio tomorrow. Don't believe Dan's going to be able to be in. He said his flight might prevent him from being in, so we're going to see if we can get Don in one more time this week.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Looking forward to that. And then Monday, all right, the start of Thanksgiving week. Thanksgiving week.
Crazy week.
Yeah, it is. I will be out Tuesday and Wednesday. Yeah. I mean, I've got something got to get taken care of, so... Tuesday, I believe, maybe I shouldn't go ahead. There will be a drive on Tuesday, but I won't be here. Dan won't be here. So, and Drew says he probably won't be here.
I can be here, but I don't know what
I'm
going to do.
I think Christian and Ben are going to, try to fill in on Tuesday. Wednesday, don't know if there'll be a drive.
Yeah.
But Monday, again, we've got Auburn women's basketball in the afternoon, so we'll be switching over to Wings 94.3 and lead right into Tiger Talk, which will then lead right into Auburn basketball against Oregon, the first day of the Players Era tournament. One thing I meant to ask David, when we were talking about coaches just a few minutes ago, Don, I wonder... I haven't heard a whole lot of buzz this week, but I wonder how tenuous Shane Beamer's situation is at South Carolina.
I can't think that it's very good.
He's 3-7.
Yeah,
you know they were a preseason ranked team,
and then the shenanigans at halftime didn't sit.
Oh
well
yeah, no
with
kidding.
A lot of people
sort of celebrating
and, you know,
up 30-3.
A couple of coaches already.
Yep,
which is never a good sign.
He's got
and now, you know, there was some talk really early, remember, him to Virginia Tech because of his dad. But
obviously James Franklin has that job, and I wonder about Shane. I mean, he's got, you know, it looked like, oh, this is a great opportunity for them, and Clemson's down. I mean,
yeah, Clemson's playing really well now.
Clemson, you know, Clemson beats them, that's at least 8 losses this year for South Carolina.
You haven't heard much out of South Carolina.
No, so we may have to keep an eye there. And,
right.
And that's tough if they have to do that at this point when other schools have already been out there, you know, trying to get their next coach.
It's like they're behind the eight ball.
Oh, yeah.
They are if this happens. It's almost the fact that they might not let it happen because
maybe because the timing isn't right.
Right.
Don, again, thanks. Really appreciate you being in. Look forward to seeing you again tomorrow. But we're going to head on out because Auburn women's basketball is coming up next. Stay tuned for that. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.